hours of submission. Delete what we love for our sake is the strongest promise a soul can make. Echoes of submission.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. Salatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our Eid special transmission Echoes of Submission. And inshallah today again we're going to cover about these blessed days, how we should spend them, the essence of Qurbani sacrifice, and much more inshallah. Before we begin, let's hear an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif Salat ala Nabi. The beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, As-salatu alayya nurun ala sirat. Sending salat upon me, Durood Sharif upon me, this is light for you on the bridge of sirat. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you know, during Eid al-Adha, one key thing that Muslims carry out across the globe is sacrifice, qurbani, udhiya. And this concept exists and it will continue to exist. We carry out these sacrifices for Allah. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in fact asked, what are these sacrifices? He alayhi salam replied, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. These sacrifices are the sunnah of your forefather, Prophet Ibrahim a.s. And this was alluding to a famous account in the life of Prophet Ibrahim a.s. where he was commanded to sacrifice his son. And he was willing to do it. The son was content with the divine will. Allah Ta'ala accepted this from both Prophet Ibrahim a.s. and his noble son, Prophet Ismail a.s. Instead, a ram was brought from paradise and that was sacrificed instead. And now until Qiyamah, Muslims sacrifice during these days of Eid. But of course, there are conditions. There are shara'it, conditions which have to be met, and only then is it wajib upon a person. Otherwise, it wouldn't be wajib. So we already heard about the great Prophet of Allah, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the previous episodes about his sacrifices, his ever willingness to submit to Allah and to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he practically demonstrated true sacrifice. He was willing to sacrifice all resources, even his life, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah ta'ala loved this sacrifice from Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam to such an extent that he commanded the whole Muslim ummah, if they fulfill the conditions, they are to carry out sacrifices. And this is following the beautiful sunnah of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So let's look at some of the conditions. The scholars of Islam have said, this is in Fatawa Alamgiri and other books of Hanafi fiqh, that Qurbani is wajib for every sane adult Muslim who is a muqeem, who is a resident and an owner of nisab. This applies to both males and females. So an owner of nisab is the one who possesses 52.5 tolas of silver. One tola of silver, just for your knowledge, is equivalent to 11.664 grams of silver. So whoever possesses 52.5 tolas of silver, or money, or goods, stock, or other things equivalent to 52.5 tolas of silver, and this amount should be free from hajat asliya, the necessities of life, essential needs, then they are to give qurbani. There's another condition as well, that the person should not be heavily debt-ridden, meaning so much debt that if he were to give all of his savings to try and fulfill those debts that are upon him, he would no longer remain the malik, the owner of nisab. So these are the conditions of qurbani being wajib. Scholars have further clarified, they've said that basic essentials, hajat asliya, needs, they consist of things that people need daily on an everyday basis, and without them life would become hard. A person would face severe hardship So what's included? Residence, a house for living, clothes for wearing, a vehicle, transportation, Islamic books for a scholar, and tools related to a person's occupation. So if he's in a trade, the tools that he needs to carry out that trade. This is mentioned in the famous Hanafi fiqh book, Al-Hidayah. So what are the excellences? What are the virtues? We just touched upon the conditions, but obviously with every Islamic act, every act of worship, when a person does it, he also gains a lot of reward as well. And so many narrations from the Prophet ﷺ tell us about the rewards for fulfilling that particular act of worship. Let's listen to two ahadith in this regard. The first hadith is in Sunan Ibn Majah. Sayyiduna Zayd bin Arqam radiyallahu anha stated, the blessed companions radiyallahu anhum said, O beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are these sacrifices? He alayhi salam replied, the sunnah of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. They asked, what is the reward for us in them, O beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, you will attain one virtue for every single hair of the sacrificial animal. They humbly said, what about wool? He alayhi salam replied, for every hair of wool, there's also one good deed, one virtue. In Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O people, perform qurbani, sacrifice with a happy heart, meaning wholeheartedly, and have the hope of divine reward in the blood that is spilt, because it is spilt in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the overview of the hadith. Now, one thing before I move on, performing qurbani doesn't just mean you gather any animals that you see and start performing the qurbani during the days of Eid al-Adha. Even the sacrificial animals have to meet certain requirements. So the person who qurbani is wajib upon, it's obligatory upon him to learn at least the basic rulings of qurbani, and he should seek guidance from ulama regarding this as well. Now, in this day and age, of course, where people are so far and distant from Islamic teachings, a lot of people unfortunately don't perform this act of worship, qurbani, in the way that it should be performed. That's the last thing we want, to spend money, to be involved in qurbani, and for it not to be done correctly. That's not what we want. So let's give you a few examples of how people make mistakes in this regard. Some people, they don't even know or realize that in their household, five people have to give qurbani because they all meet the conditions. So what they'll do is they'll end up giving one qurbani and say, oh, it's on behalf of the entire family. So that's only one qurbani performed. What about the other four? They were wajib as well. So these things are very prevalent. We have to just look at society. These things are happening. Now, what about the animal itself? It should be free from major faults and defects which invalidate the qurbani. Some people don't even know that qurbani is wajib upon them because they don't even know the conditions. And every year they don't give qurbani. So these are big problems in our societies and communities. So humble request, learn about qurbani. And an excellent way is to read the booklet Piebald Horse Rider, authored by Sheikh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnat, founder of Dawat Islami, Maulana Ilyas Qadri, Damat Barakatum Lalia. This book is very beneficial, and inshallah you'll learn and amass a lot of information regarding qurbani. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to perform qurbani in a way that is correct and pleasing to him. Moving on, let's look at the blessed days of Eid. Whether we celebrate Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, remember these celebrations in Islam, they are no doubt big blessings of Allah. But we still have to celebrate them in a way that Allah wants, not in a way that we particularly want. I want to do anything and everything, and I still want Allah to be pleased with me. That's not how it works. Whatever I do in these days of Eid, I still have to do them in the way that Allah wants me to spend these days. And of course, these are days of shukr. These are days of gratitude. And you don't show shukr to Allah or gratitude to Allah by disobeying Him, by doing unlawful things. Even on the day of Eid, and the days of Eid, the days of sacrifice, namaz is fard. We have to ask ourselves, are we oblivious of this great act of Islam, the greatest fard after Iman? Let me go through a few things that inshallah, if we implement on the day of Eid as well, we will attain great reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Eid, don't forget the poor people. Don't forget people who are in need. Our own fridges may be full of meat,
But what about the poor people? What about those who don't eat meat? Maybe they haven't ate meat for an entire year. Give them meat on the days of Eid al-Adha, the days of Qurban. Give sadaqat. If your zakat is due in those days, give zakat to people. Help them in any way possible. Please their hearts. They'll make dua for you. And when they make dua for you, your difficulties will be alleviated, inshallah. On the days of Eid, show happiness and spread happiness. When you meet your relatives, when you meet your friends, express happiness, joy. Don't have a dull face. Don't have a frown on your face. Where people meet you and think, it looks like he's come to a funeral. That's how he's behaving and conducting himself. This is not a funeral, it's the day of Eid. It's the day of happiness. It's a feast from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we're carrying out qurbani and we're going to benefit as well from that. And especially those people that you've cut off ties with. Today people even cut off ties with their own parents. Na'udhu billah. This is not far-fetched. This is what's happening in our communities. We hear about these things all the time. Parents not speaking to children, children not speaking to parents. Blood brothers not speaking to each other, relatives not speaking to each other. And if this continues in the days of Eid as well, how can we attain blessings? How can we have a happy Eid? When our own relatives, we haven't even reached out to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to maintain ties with our blood relatives and our distant relatives as well. The scholars even guide us in regards to clothing. On the day of Eid, some people think they can wear anything. Men and women wear tight clothing, they reveal their aura and beautification, which is found more in women. They'll wear, you know, heavy makeup on and they'll go out, they'll uncover their heads, free mixing, intermingling with the opposite genders, غير maharim, flirting, all sorts of things take place. Oh, it's Eid. So what does that mean? It's Eid that you can do anything and everything? لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Men be wearing jewelry, big chains, 33 rings on their fingers. They don't even know that only one ring is allowed, one silver ring. And even that has to be a certain weight. It has to have a gemstone. So there are a lot of problems. And in regards to jewelry which is prohibited by Sharia, for example, tinkling bells. Some women wear certain clothes where they'll have tinkling bells attached to them. And then غير محارم, hear that tinkling sound. Listen to what the narration states as found in Abu Dawood. Angels of mercy do not visit the house that has tinkling bells in it. This is common. This is taking place in our society. People are wearing such clothing to attract attention, to make people look at them. We become a nation of attention seekers, unfortunately. And this is by and large due to social media as well. Selfie mania, wanting people to like our posts. We want appreciation. We want validation from people. Diseased hearts. This is what social media has caused. May Allah give us purified hearts and enable us to understand what's truly valuable in life and what doesn't deserve our attention. And then of course for women, they shouldn't wear such nail polish or glitter powder that will cause a hindrance in performing wudu. So even on Eid day, in terms of clothing, beautification, we have to make sure that we're only wearing clothes that are in accordance to Sharia. Beautification, it should be in accordance to Sharia. Zina is allowed, but there's conditions. And of course, the day of Eid is a day of joy, day of happiness, day of remembrance of Allah Almighty. But you can only remember Allah Almighty if you're performing your salah, if you're mindful of the dhikr that you have to do even on the days of Eid. So, if you're celebrating Eid but missing your faraid, your wajibat, then what sort of joy is this? What sort of happiness is this? You're displeasing the Creator who has given you life and the ability to celebrate Eid in the first place. So, if you spend your days of Eid to your utmost, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fulfilling your faraid, wajibat, the special gift of Eid that you will receive in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He may bless you with the ability to behold His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. And this can happen. Moving on, of course on the day of Eid, in the early morning, go towards Eid Salah, take your children as well. Teach them about the etiquette of masajid. The masajid are not places where you run around, create noise. They are places where Allah Ta'ala is to be worshipped, where the Salah offering people are not to be disturbed. This is the environment that we need to kind of develop and maintain as well. And give sadaqah. When you give sadaqah, give through the hands of your children. This will develop the habit of giving sadaqah from an early age, insha'Allah al-Kareem. When you offer salah, ask your children to offer with you on the day of Eid. Again, they'll realize from a young age that, look, Eid is a day of celebration and joy, but not a day where we forgo our fard wajibat. We don't have any free license to miss our fard prayers now, wajib actions now. And another thing that we should try to develop in children, nurture in children, is the habit of being humble. Obviously, on the day of Eid, people wear all sorts of different clothes, pricey clothes, designer clothes, branded clothes. People obviously try to look good. And if Allah has blessed you, then why not? Allah Ta'ala likes when His blessings are seen on the people. And people spend on themselves from the rizq that Allah has given them. But what's generally seen is that children especially, they compare their clothes. I have this, I'm wearing this, you're not wearing this, your clothes are not as good as mine. Taunting one another regarding clothes, shoes, wristwatches, dresses, and they make fun of each other. This is disheartening for obviously children who can't match what others are wearing. Not everybody's on the same level. Not everybody can afford to wear the clothes that others are wearing. So this isn't a good practice. You should prevent your children from, you know, mentioning bad comments, comments that could be hurtful, criticizing other people for what they're wearing. We should develop humbleness in our children from a young age. Now, obviously, during the days of Eid, Eidi is given. Eid gifts are given in the form of cash as well. What this does is it increases that anticipation, that excitement in children, which is a good thing. But one thing is giving children willingly, wholeheartedly, of your own will. One is children demanding Eid. This shouldn't be the case. Or gifts. You have to give me on Eid. Remember, it's not binding upon anyone to give anyone a gift on Eid. If they give it, alhamdulillah, they'll be rewarded for it with good intentions. But you shouldn't forcefully ask other people to give you Eid. This is embarrassing as well. It's a form of begging. And ethically speaking, it's not a good practice. You might ask someone who doesn't even have money or will be struggling to give it to everyone there in that gathering. And then that person may have to make an excuse, or you might have to tell a lie just to get out of that situation. So we should try and teach our children that, look, if someone gives you Eid money, alhamdulillah, it's good. But if they don't give you, don't demand it from them. This is not something that's binding upon them, like qurbani can become wajib upon a person, or sadaqatul fitr is wajib upon a person. It's not wajib upon a person to give Eid to someone. If they do, alhamdulillah. If they don't, no hard feelings. But we should try and teach these things to our children as well. Obviously, on the day of Eid, feast, qurbani, 3 days of Eid, people have a lot of food. But again, home food is the best food. Try avoiding food from outside, going to fancy restaurants. And even the food you eat at home, eat in moderation. You have meat, you have sweet dishes, whatever you have, eat in moderation. The last thing you want is to eat so much that after Eid, you can't even get up. You fall ill for a whole week. You miss work, you miss school, you miss college. So we need to keep our children away from unhygienic and harmful food. Try to make them eat from home, and even that in moderation. Inshallah, Allah will bless you. During Eid, again, when we give gifts to children, we should focus on what kind of gifts we're giving. Will the parents of the child like that gift even? So some people end up giving pistols to young kids. They have metal balls. Children end up shooting one another. This causes quarrels, disputes, it hurts children. And on that blessed day of Eid, the elders get involved then. Your child hit my child, struck him in the eye. Look, my child's crying. Very risky games, very risky toys. So keep your children away from these toys. Don't give them. And you should try and guide others not to give such toys as well. Because the last thing we want on this day of Eid, day of celebration and joy, is to be fighting with others and arguing with others and falling out with others. Going back home, backbiting about others. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to spend our Eid in a way that pleases Him with our loved ones, following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, and wholeheartedly following the sacrifices of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, giving qurbani, especially if it's wajib upon us. Try to give to Dawud Islami if possible. Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami collects every year as well. May Allah Jalla wa'ala grant us several Eids throughout our lifetime. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make others happy, not only on the day of Eid, but throughout our lives as well, so that we attain eternal bliss in the hereafter, in the form of Jannatul Firdaus, in the proximity of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless and protect and preserve all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman and faith and grant us death upon iman and faith as well. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Echoes of submission. To lead what we love for Allah's sake is the strongest promise a soul can make. Echoes of submission.